Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Carl Mizzle joins us, and I understand you're doing some shopping, Carl?
Right, I'm actually in the supermarket right now, Phil. I'm trying to do some shopping here before the market closes, but not having too much success right now trying to get my dinner together.
You've written a book on the monarchy in Britain, and the British monarchy.
Yes.
It has a lot of problems right now, doesn't it?
Well, the monarchy in Great Britain is doing just fine. It's not doing badly at all. The scandals, these things come out periodically. But I think that what I've heard in the States, in the United States, in the press here, is that the Americans love to bash the Queen. And I think it would do all Americans well to remember that the Brits are the ones that are backing you up in Iraq. And if you are going to... Make fun of the Queen of England, it doesn't show much respect for the only allies, the only true allies that you have in this war on Iraq. So I would watch what you say, or you could see a few billion dollars worth of British hardware and men suddenly disappear from the sands of Saudi Arabia.
This is what Americans do, though. We like to make fun of the monarchy over there.
Well, it's nice that's what you do. I'm telling you that it's not smart when you are relying upon the Brits as your ally. And my book, Time and Place, The Monarchy in America, is about, really, the benefits of monarchy and how the American people, who at no time in the history of the American people been less involved with their government, and probably at no time in their history of the American people been more desirous of a single unifying leader than now. And that's why I wrote the book.
Well, it's not going to happen. You're never going to get a monarchy in the United States. It wouldn't happen in a million years.
Well, it may not happen, but what I'm saying is, as a foreigner, I can see what's happened to this country. The American people have become ripe to be led around by the nose, but in a good way. When you're not being...
How can one be led around by the nose in a good way?
Well, you're not being very effective, are you, with your government? When you aren't pursuing business, when you have become vulnerable to attack, and when you've come to accept the death of 3,000 of your countrymen as an acceptable thing, you're ready to be straightened out a little bit by a king, I would think.
Well, I would have to tell you that we have not accepted the death of 3,000 people. And I suppose what you're referring to is our inability to get involved in our politics.
Well, the American people love to talk about democracy, but they're very short on participating in it. And what we have seen as a result of that is the attack on your country in 9/11 and the destruction of property and people. I think that a monarchy in America is the kind of solution that the American people deep down desire, because it means there is one unified voice, one decision maker, and the American people are not having, they don't have to make decisions themselves. Someone else is making the decision.
Well, what is an example of a successful monarchy? Great Britain?
Well, I would think so. How?
I mean, you got a scandal over there. You've got a gay rape.
I've noticed the press in America is focusing on this gay rape. I'm very amused by that.
Well, it's bizarre, and the Queen and the Prince and it's just a bunch of overindulged people.
Well, you don't understand the monarchy very well. We've had monarchy in Britain for thousands of years. They're doing just fine, thank you very much. And by the way, I don't see any ground zero anywhere around London.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm not trying to be confrontational, Phil.
Well, but when you say you don't see any ground zero around London, what do you mean?
I don't see any ground zero around London. I think the British people are far more prone to be involved and alert to the problems of terrorism than Americans, but I do see one around here. That is a ground zero, and that tragic occurrence for a country that at one time looked like it was on its way to really getting it together is terrible. I think the American people right now are tired. I think they are frustrated. I think they're bored with politics. I think they're bored with their politicians. I think no matter how they say they love President Bush, I think they are bored with him. And I think that no time in the history of this country have a people been more ripe for a monarchy, monarchist form of government. I'm just saying, because of the Brits are led by the monarchy, they've been able to protect themselves from terrorists.
Well, the Brits are not led by a monarchy. They're led by a parliament.
But the monarchy is the head of state. and we don't have them flying airplanes into Big Ben. Thank you very much.
All right, Carl Misler is with us here. 1-800-449-8686, the number here. He's the author of a book called A Time and a Place, Monarchy in America. He is a journalist who has covered the ongoing colonial wars in Africa for the past 5 years. So the American people, you say, have never been riper to be led around by the nose, but in a good way. And according to you, what does it mean in a good way?
A monarchy, you got it, non-fat. A monarchy...
You're doing your shopping, huh?
I'm trying to get the non-fat yogurt. Right. Is it non-fat? Right. A monarchy in America would encourage Americans to get back to the basics, which is hard work. Keep your mouth shut. Not focus on the ornamental things, but just work hard and talk less and work more. And that should be the new American way. You talk about the American way.
And what about free speech, free press?
Well, free speech and free press. One of the things about Americans, they're always going on about their free speech and the free press. And they're always going on about what they've got to say. I don't think Americans really have much to say these days. I think this is a great time for Americans to shut their mouths and just get into the hard work of protecting their country and to get into the hard work of supporting their country. And
what about the hard work of being involved democratically?
Well, that time is long past. The American people had an opportunity to be involved politically and gave that up. They've decided that they're going to lay back and let somebody else do the job. And that's why I say, for the Americans, the best solution would be to have a monarchist form of government, which is a king and a queen who can make decisions for you so that you don't have to worry your little heads about it and you can go off and play a video game to whatever it is you people do. But I'm telling you, if America would just crown a king or a queen at some point, this little terror problem of yours might go away and you wouldn't have these cowboys such as George Bush strapping on the plastic gun that his daddy got him for Christmas and putting on his cowboy hat and going on in front of the TV and saying he's going to do all these things in Iraq, which you know perfectly well he isn't capable of doing, and it would take decades for him to accomplish.
Well, I got to interrupt you there, Carl, because you have just said a mouthful. You said the President of the United States is playing cowboy. We don't have the wherewithal to defeat Iraq. The American people ought to keep their mouths shut and have a king.
Let me say this.
But that's a big mouthful.
Now, could I ask you a question? What business is it of yours to ask us about Princess Diana, Prince Charles, the Queen, or any gay rape that goes on, the homosexual rape that goes on in Buckingham Palace? What business is it of yours?
We're interested in it.
You may be interested in it because Americans are so bored with their own government that they are interested in ours, but what business is it of yours, really? Really?
I guess it's none of our business.
That is the point I think I'm trying to make. It's none of your business. And you can keep your nose out of our business. As Americans, I don't say you this, Phil, personally. I say the American people should keep their nose out of the business. And I'd like... Hold on, for a minute, Phil?
What?
Stolen. I want the tri-tip. The tri-tip. The American people should keep their nose out of our business, keep their mouth shut, and get to the grindstone. I think there'll be a lot more... You won't find a Brit saying, giddy up, let's go get Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think you would if you had a little of that ground zero going on around there in London, Carl. Carl Misner.
Well, I don't think so, because I think that we have had decades of pub bombings and we're not running around waving our flags, are we? I think we're reacting more like adults.
All right, so we are acting like children after 9/11.
That is correct.
And George Bush is a cowboy, and it's none of our business what Princess Diana, Prince Charles...
Although I don't mind you calling Charles Princess.
All right, Prince Charles or Princess of the Queen, it's none of our business. But it is your business to tell us how to run our government.
I'm not telling you how to run your government.
Well, you're telling us that we don't need a democracy, that we need a monarchy.
I'm offering the opinion that the American temperament right now is much more suited to a monarchy, to have a king decide the affairs of government and state, because the American people have proven themselves incapable, uninterested, and are not quite up to the job, as it were. So I'm going to Did you want me to hold on?
Yeah, why don't you hold on here, Carl? 1-800-449-8686, the number here with international journalist Carl Misla, who's written a book on, it's called A Time and a Place, The Monarchy in America, The Need for Monarchists and the Need for a Monarchy Government in the United States, that Americans just, frankly, we've lost our energy to self-govern. And he also says that we ought to keep our mouths shut about the Queen if we expect the British to help us in Iraq. Good thing this guy's a friend of mine, because I'd pull, man. And good thing he ain't in a room with me. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The peaches in the can. If I get that.
Okay, we're back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show with Carl Misla, the author, and his book is called A Time and a Place. You there, Carl?
I'm right here, Phil. Yes.
All right. The Time and a Place. Time for Monarchy in America. Now, just a quick recap here. You believe that the time is right for America to have a monarchy because we are a people incapable of participating in our own government. And you also, but you agree with me when I say it'll never happen.
Well, I didn't say that. I said it.
Well, you agree with me when I say it's unlikely.
I said it's unlikely to happen. I didn't say it would not never happen. But look at the things that are preoccupying Americans today. They I can't believe the stupidity of all these Americans making fun of someone's bum being violated in the Buckingham Palace. You jeopardize the support of Britain in this little war of yours where you're going to run off this warlord, this Saddam Hussein, who's about as dangerous as a boil on your thigh. And it's all about bum penetration with you people, and it's all about the violation of the bum. And for me, I'd like to see Americans grow up a little bit and become a responsible people and worthy of the democracy that they've got.
It's all about bum violation.
Well, there's this fascination in your country with rape and homosexuality and all of this. And it's really, really vile, and I think it does not serve you people very well.
Okay, Carl, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Pat. Hi, Pat. You're on The Phil Hendry Show with Carl Misla.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hello to Carl.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I have a beef with him about us acting like we solicit the help of the Brits. First off, I want to tell him I'm a very proud American, and I don't
I would expect you to say that. I would expect you to say that, Pat.
Well, then if you would, then you'd know that our deep roots are situated where we've already broken away from you guys. We don't really feel like we need your help.
Well, it's one of the things Americans love to do is remind us of the fact that you're no longer part of the colonies. We understand that the Queen is no longer your Queen. But I'm trying to say here is that it's not in your best interest to continue to offend our monarchy while you're waiting for us to supply you with fighter jets and British pilots. And you see what I'm saying?
In the last big major world conflict, who solicited whose help?
Now, which one would that be?
Beg your pardon?
I don't know which one you're talking. Is it Gulf War, or is it Vietnam, or was it Korea?
I believe I'm talking about
World
the one
War
in which London was bombed by the
Well, but you see, Pat, here's the interesting thing about that. We more than paid you back for that, because while the Yanks were definitely on the continent fighting, the Yanks is a slang term for America.
Why don't you call us Americans, okay?
You know, like Yanks?
Right.
But the reason why we call you Yanks is because sometimes it's in our mind you're sitting around and you're pulling it. Right?
Because you guys are pompous.
Well,
you've always been a bunch of pompous asses.
Well, you know what? Would you deny that you're overly concerned with a violation of someone's bum? and anal penetration and this sort of thing in America that I can't understand.
I'm overly concerned if it's mine.
Well, you should be, but I'm saying it becomes a look at that. While you Americans were in the continent and you were fighting the Germans, you were also over in Britain, and you were violating the asses of our wives and our girlfriends. So that
wait a minute, that's a crude.
We all know the Yanks were with all the British women. Were you, Pat? Were you there?
No, sir. I'm not old enough.
All right. Well, we had all these Yanks over there. They had their way with our women. They had their way with our daughters.
There was no American raping women over there.
Well, I beg you to differ.
Let me ask you, and
I will tell you, anal sex was introduced to Britain by the Yanks. The Yanks love to defile the bum of either men or women.
Well, hold on. Pat, go ahead. Say what you wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Phil.
Good Lord.
How far back are you going when you're talking about this bum history?
I'm saying that the first time that
let me finish my question.
Well, go right ahead.
Somebody violating someone else's, whether it be a bum or whatever, because... let's all face it. The reason that
you are going to get to your point here, Pat, aren't you? You're going to
allow the man. He's not as conversant as you are. It's his first time on the radio. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm not as pompous as you, sir.
As it was,
who violated who first?
Americans.
If we're talking about violation, whether it be violating someone's bum,
well,
and someone being overly concerned about someone's bung.
Well, no, I'm just
violated.
It was genuine.
Who violated who first?
I would say, and I said this before, that the Americans.
Have you guys rewritten?
Americans
rewritten
always
the
put
history?
Their nose in the dirty spots. January 5th, 1943, when the first bum penetration happened in London, and it was performed by an American on a British woman. Now, the idea...
You don't know that for a fact. This is all slander. What a horrible thing to say about a country that did have a lot of troops stationed in your country.
Yeah.
Here we go again. We're going to hear about all you Yanks and how you bail us out. We'd be speaking German. Isn't that right, Pat? Isn't that what you were going to say? That's right.
What we're afraid of is if we want a monarchy,
yes,
then us moral, decent, God-fearing people over here are all going to be bomb lovers.
Well, so you're saying then that the Brits are the ones that they're involved in this sort of thing? But I will tell you this. The monarchy would help America. First of all, it would get you away from the TV set for the first time, perhaps in several months, I would imagine. Secondly, it might get you re-involved in the democratic process, because once you get a taste of a king, you might not like it. And, Pat, you would be in London for an hour, and you'd be looking for a bum to penetrate, because you're an American.
Oh, really?
This has turned into an insult, fest, hasn't it?
No, it's not an insult fest. It's the fact is, American servicemen came to Britain, looked up the first British woman that they could find, laid her over a coffee table.
Okay.
Well, y'all have the freedoms in Europe. Hello?
What is this?
Pat, I want you to listen to this, because this was truly the first anthem of a democratic nation. The parliamentary process was introduced into Great Britain in the 17th century, and it was introduced into America in the 18th century, so I think we've got about a 100-year head start on you, and I would appreciate it if the next time you set foot on this plot of green that we call jolly old England, you keep your hands and other body parts away from my wife's arse. Thank you.
What a crude bastard.
Well, he was...
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Yeah.
Bastard.